had the unfortunate experience of leaving your headlights on too long? Maybe you go into a store or something, you forget maybe it's foggy in the morning, and you turn the key off, and then you come back out, and you think, oh, you know, you get back in and you start the car, and it, you know, maybe you get the radio to work and the dome light inside, but there's just not enough to turn the engine over, and you're stuck because that battery has just been drained, and it doesn't have the energy to do what it needs to do to make the car start and move forward. You had that experience? Anybody? Okay. Anybody not had a dead battery before? Okay. All right. Oh, Vogels haven't. So anyway, if you know where their car is parked and want to go out and turn their lights on, they can see what it's like. Criticism can do the same thing to a person's spirit. You know, you leave the lights on and it just drains the energy out of that battery so that there's not much left. Criticism does the same thing to us as human beings. When we are criticized, it seems to drain us. And continual criticism drains us completely so that we don't have the energy to move forward with the things that God has called us to do. Nehemiah understood that. He no sooner got the work started on the rebuilding of the wall than the opposition and the criticism started. But in the passage of Scripture we're going to look at today, we're going to see Nehemiah's godly response to it. And I think it can teach us how God wants us to respond when criticism comes our way as well. You can follow along even in your Bibles or up on the screen as I read Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. You'll notice we skipped chapter 3. Chapter 3 is primarily a list of which people were responsible for rebuilding which section of the wall. A couple little interesting things in there. I'd encourage you, just to maintain the flow and the context, go back and read Nehemiah chapter 3 and look for some things that might stand out to you. But we're going to jump ahead to chapter 4 today, verses 1 through 9. And it says, "When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, 'What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?' Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, 'What are they building? Even if a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn our insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sin from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders.' So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat." First thing we're going to see in the first three verses is the criticism itself. Now, criticism falls into one of two categories. There is constructive criticism, things that are said to a person intended to help them. And then on the other hand, there is destructive criticism, things that are said sometimes to the person, sometimes to somebody else, with the intention of causing harm. It's been a while back, but somebody approached me one time and they said, "Do you realize that you say or quite a bit, especially when you're ad-libbing?" And at first I thought, well, it's easy for you to say. You don't have to stand up and speak in front of people. But I realized that it was true. And it was something that was spoken to me in an attempt to help me improve as a public speaker, or at least not be as bad of a public speaker as I am. That was the constructive criticism. But if somebody were to say, as they're walking out, either to me or to somebody by them, I think that's the worst message I've ever heard. That would probably fall into the form of the destructive criticism, the kind that's meant to discourage or hurt a person. And it's important to discern between the two, because constructive criticism we can learn from. And there are two things that we need to consider whether something is constructive or destructive. The first is to consider the source. Who is it that is saying the criticism? Is it somebody who's walking with God? Is it somebody that evidenced the fruit of the Spirit in their life? And if so, it's good for us to listen to people like that. In Proverbs, there are several proverbs that address the listening or the heeding of criticism or words and the power to heal. Proverbs 12:18 says that reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 15:31 says that he who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. 27:6 says that wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So in Nehemiah's case, was this criticism that he was receiving coming from somebody who was a friend or wise or people walking with God? Not at all. It was coming from Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite. These were individuals who hated God's people. And they came from races of people who hated the people of God. We see also that it came from an attitude of anger, to the point of being incensed. And typically, criticism that comes out of an angry heart is not the constructive type. In fact, it's good for us to remember, if we say something critically, to check, first of all, our emotions. Is it coming out of a heart that's angry or one that's hurt? And so you want to consider the source when you hear criticism. What is the type of person, what is the person like who is the source of that criticism? But even if they're not walking with God and don't have the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, it doesn't mean we can ignore it. There's a second question that we have to ask, and that question is it true? See, even if the source is untrustworthy, sometimes criticism is warranted. Even if it's spoken in anger, it could still be valid, and we have to ask ourselves, is this true? Now, in this case, it's a series of rhetorical questions that were filled with insults. Sanballat says, what are these feeble Jews doing? He says, will they restore their walls? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring stones back to life? These weren't questions. These were expressions of contempt. And was there truth in what he said? Absolutely not. What about Tobiah? He said, well, even if a fox climbed on it, it would break the wall down. Now, foxes are not very big, are they? And one of the differences between a fox and a wolf is that wolves travel in packs, but foxes are solitary animals. And so you've got this picture of this little tiny fox climbing over the big walls. And Tobiah says, even if a fox, you know, in the middle of the night climbs around on this, it's going to knock it over. Is that true? Absolutely not. Actually, what you see happening here is the criticism being contagious. Sanballat says it first, and then Tobiah picks it up and expands upon it, making it even more ridiculous. You know, every summer here in the on the western portion of the United States, we have reports of wildfires, burns hundreds of acres across the West. And sometimes these fires are caused by lightning. Be a natural lightning strike and it'll start a fire and that fire will spread. Sometimes it's by smokers' carelessness. And sometimes it's by campfires, campers out in the woods, and they build a little campfire and thinking that everything is safe. But sometime during the night, maybe the fire is not completely out, the wind picks up, it takes an ember from the fire and spreads. And it's not long before that fire, it's still the same fire, but it resembles nothing like its original source. This is what criticism can do as well, especially the destructive kind that other people hear. Others hear it, they pick up upon it, they expand it and build upon it until it turns into a huge fire. In fact, look at what James says in chapter 3 about the words that we speak. He says, "Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." When we have critical words to say, it's important that we say them not in anger, that we say them to the person, and we say with the intention to help. We don't talk to others, we don't ridicule, and then we must make sure that they are true. Because our criticism can steal the energy from a person. Every one of us will receive criticism at one time or another. And it's important to learn from Nehemiah how to counter it when it comes. And in verses 4 through 6, we see what Nehemiah did. Chapter 4, verse 3 ends with Tobiah's criticism. And then in verse 4, we have Nehemiah immediately launching into prayer. He says, "Hear us, O God, for we are despised." This marks the third time in the book of Nehemiah that we've seen Nehemiah pray. Chapter 1, remember, he gets the report about the condition of the walls and the people in Jerusalem, and he mourns, he fasts, and he prays, and then he records the prayer that he prays to the God of heaven. In chapter 2, Nehemiah is asked by the king what he needs in order to carry out the work that God had placed on his heart, and it said that he prayed to the God of heaven, and he answered the king. It doesn't necessarily record what the prayer was, but Nehemiah indicates that he prays. But notice how abrupt this is in chapter 4. The people are criticizing the Jews and their work, and Nehemiah, as he records this account, doesn't even say, "I stopped to pray and said." He just immediately launches into the prayer. He immediately went to God. No introduction, no description. He takes it immediately to the Lord. You know, our human or fleshly response when we are criticized is to criticize back, to hurt the one that has hurt us. But the proper response is to go to God, to go to Him immediately. Let the Lord know how you feel. Nehemiah does that. He says, "Hear us, O God, for we are despised." And then we can let the Lord know what it is that we want. He says, "Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sin from your sight, for they've thrown insults in the face of the builders." Now, usually we think when we look at the Bible, we're told to turn the other cheek and to forgive one another, to bless those who have cursed us and to pray for those who persecute us. Nehemiah doesn't quite live up to that high standard here. He says, "God, turn it back on them." But remember here, Nehemiah is not praying so much about himself, but about the entire project and the people working on it. He's reminding God that they are hurling insults, not at him, but at the builders. They were standing in the way of God's work, not Nehemiah's personal plans. And so perhaps he was justified in praying in this very strong way. It wasn't personal for him. But Nehemiah knew that it would be the Lord that had to fight the battle. He went to the one that could do something about it, rather than responding and escalating the problem. Remember when David went out to meet Goliath on the battlefield? Goliath had been getting up every day and walking out before the Jewish army, hurling insults at them and challenging them to a man-to-man battle. He was tormenting Israel, criticizing the soldiers, and they were losing heart. David appeared and he offered to fight the giant. And he walks out onto the battlefield and Goliath begins ridiculing him, attempting through the ridicule to discourage him even further. But David didn't respond in kind. Look what David says in 1 Samuel 17. He says, This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who are gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." David's confidence was in God. And that's why he didn't wear armor or take a sword onto the battlefield to fight Goliath. He knew that it was God that would give the victory. And Nehemiah had his confidence in God as well, so that when the ridicule or the criticism came, even from the military of Samaria, he immediately went to prayer. And I want to encourage you, when criticism comes your way, when you've been attacked, when you've been ridiculed, either publicly or personally, resist the urge to fight back. Resist the urge to criticize in return. Take the problem to God. He is the one who is our defender. He is the one who will fight our battles. And that's the very best way to counter destructive criticism when it comes. At work, at school, at home, at church. Now, does that mean that we don't do anything but pray? That we never do anything to defend ourselves? Not necessarily. Because as we look at the closing verses of this passage, we see Nehemiah's compliment to prayer. Compliment, not the nice things that you say, but the compliment that you add to something. Nehemiah prayed, but he also did something else. It said that he posted a guard. Notice that it's now not just one person, that it's become political. The Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod, or the Philistines, were moving from criticism to actual threats. And they were plotting to attack. And at this time, I need the kids to come up. And we need to clear this platform off, because we need to move around. I hope you guys have lots of energy today. Come on up, guys. Balloons, yes. All right. You guys have any idea what we're going to do? No clue. No clue. All right. What I need you to do, I need you to slip one of these on your feet. Hikari, step right in. There you go. Okay. Whoops. You guys know this game? No? Whoa, yes. You going to play, Rachel? There you go. Oh, well, you don't have to pop it, but maybe other people are going to try, so you need to protect it. All right. Okay, ready, Samu? Oh, you're going with the left foot. Okay. Nathan, you ready? Left or right? You going left? Oh, you're going to go right? Okay. Oh, there you go. Not your own. Oh. Jonathan, come on up here. Hang in there with us while we do a little equipment. There, you good? All right. Now, you have to promise me that you're not going to fall off the platform. Promise? You going to go left foot? Okay. Oh. Oh, okay. Oh. So here we go. You want to play? There you go. Thank you. Everybody got one? Okay, I'll save those for later. Okay, now, what's that? Sure. You want to play? Come on, Chris. You guys want me to play too? Okay. Come on. Mr. Noodlehead, here, let me, I can't wash your feet, but I can at least give you a balloon. Okay. All right, I'll play too, okay? Now, there is going to be a prize for the one whose balloon is on at the end of the game, not popped, okay? So, you ready? And you guys, you'll be the guard. Okay, Michael, guard over here. Ready? Go. Hey, no balloons are popping. Oh, there goes one. Oh, no, you can't. Oh! I'm popped. Careful. Okay. Okay, let's tighten up the circle a little bit, okay? You got to stay on this half back here, on this carpet, okay? Everybody, stay up here. No, it lost. Okay, come on, hurry up. Oh, your came off? If it comes off, you lose. Oh. Hurry up, there's some over here. Jonathan, you're just... Oh. Okay, how about if your balloon has popped, you can still go in and help pop balloons. Oh, 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 you've been spared. Oh, it won't pop. Oh, no, that's a disqualification. Okay, whoa. Oh, oh, you know what? This is taking a lot longer than I thought. So, what we're going to do is everybody that's got a balloon left gets a prize. And everybody, how about having a seat, okay? Plus everybody that doesn't have a balloon left gets a prize as well, okay? So we'll do this afterwards, but you can't eat them here. You have to sit down, though, okay? So let's sit down, because I need to talk to you about this game, okay? Oh, is there an extra balloon? Thanks. Thank you. Now, there were two things that were important about playing this game, right? One thing was protecting your balloon, and the other thing was popping somebody else's. Do you guys ever, and a lot of you guys did a real good job about protecting your balloons. Did you step on anybody else's balloons? No, you just got yours stepped upon. Isn't that discouraging? No? Especially because you get a prize at the end even though you lost. Okay? You know, sometimes, do you ever feel like, have you guys ever been criticized? Has anybody ever said anything bad to you? Maybe like, yes, Regan, did they?
You can't say the word, though.
Oh, you can't say the word. Okay. All right. Thank you for having that discretion. But when somebody says something bad to you, how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel really good? Like if they say, oh, you're stupid, or you can't do anything. Has anybody ever said something like that to you? I hear it all the time. Yeah?
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay. But sometimes, you know, you might feel just like this, and then somebody says a discouraging word, and... Whoa. And you just... That's all you got left. It's just a little balloon stem. Because it really... Can I have your balloon, too? Oh. Don't pop it? Okay. All right, we're all through popping balloons. But when people say discouraging things to us, it can just like take all the air out of our balloons, right? Is it good to try to step on other people's balloons when they're trying to step on ours? Maybe in this game. Yes, in this game it's okay. But in real life, if somebody through criticizing is trying to pop your balloon, is it good to pop theirs back? Uh-uh. No, it's not. It's good to play defense, you know, to keep your balloon away. In fact, you guys that still have balloons have done a real good job of knowing how to protect your balloon. And in Nehemiah's case, he was not only interested in protecting himself, he was interested in protecting all the other people that were working on the wall, all the people that were building. And he wanted to really encourage them. So all the enemies were criticizing them. They were making fun of him and making fun of their project. But Nehemiah came along, and he was the one that just kept everybody really encouraged so that they could keep working. Has anybody ever said anything bad to you? Kalani? Keoki, excuse me. There's Kalani over there. Has anybody ever said anything bad to you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Do you remember anything that they said that hurt?
Not really.
No? Okay, good. You forget about it quickly. Anybody remember anything hurtful that somebody said to you? Okay, can you say what it is, Keoki? No. Why am I confused? You guys switch places. No, don't remember. Okay.
My brother put up the middle finger at me.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sure he didn't mean to. And for those of you who couldn't hear back there, I'm not going to repeat it. You'll want to sit in the front row next time so you get in on all the good stuff. But the thing that we are tempted to do is to just fight back to make the other person hurt if they hurt us. But what we want to be is not somebody that fights back. We want to be able to come alongside somebody else and encourage them when something bad happens to them. So play defense, not only with your own balloons, but with the balloons of other people so that they don't get stomped on and popped, okay? So thanks for playing your game. And on your way out, don't eat it during church, okay? Because the crumbs are hard to clean up. But you can, if your parents stay at church too long today, you can have a little snack before you go home. All right? All right, you going to be okay with your balloons going back? Okay? All right, you can enjoy your balloons. And Scott, you want to pass this out, please? Thank you. All right, thank you, boys and girls. It broke off. Oh, so it needs to be popped? No? You want to pop it? No? Okay. All right. But notice back at verse 6 what Nehemiah says. After the insults and the criticism had come their way, he said, "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all of their heart." They were being ridiculed. They were being criticized. They were being threatened, but yet the people didn't give up. And that's because Nehemiah himself turned to God and inspired the people. This world is filled with so much criticism, so many people who are hurtful. What we really need is to get the string off my foot so I don't trip. But what we really need are people that can be a blessing and an encouragement. Somebody that can come and serve to fill those balloons that are losing air. And how is it that we can do that when we're involved in the criticism as well, when we're recipients of that criticism? We can do it when we turn to the Lord, when we go there immediately. It's almost like Teflon. The criticism comes, but it doesn't stick. And so that's Nehemiah knew. He was a man of prayer. He went immediately to the Lord. And it energized him, it equipped him to be that encouragement to everybody else that was around him. You know, if you've had a dead battery before, there's really one way, well, unless you have a downhill slope and a clutch. If you don't have that, then there's really only one way to get going again, and that's a jumper cable. Somebody's got to show up with a live battery, connect the cables to yours, and you use their energy to get going again. And that's what we can be if we know how to deal with criticism like Nehemiah dealt with it. To receive it, but yet take it right to God. And then look at the people around you who are defeated as well. And look how you might protect, inspire, and and energize them to fulfill the calling that God has put on their lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for people like Nehemiah who knew how to deal with the tough things in life. And in spite of the opposition, to be able to move forward with the people, encourage and inspire them to carry out the work that you've given them to do. And God, I think each one of us here would desire to be an encourager as well. I think of Barnabas, who was just given the name Barnabas because he was such an encourager and his name reflected that. I think we'd all like to be people like that. But help us, Father, to have plenty of power ourselves that we might inspire and enable those around us to be stronger as well. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who gave his life on the cross for us. That through his death, not only his life, but his power is given to us as well. And God, help us to maximize that in each of our lives so that we have an abundance to share with those around us also. And help us to deal with the critics in our own lives and help us to bless in return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Why don't we all stand? And not to add to your message, Craig, but two words kind of came to mind when along these passages, and that was pray and obey. And you know, when we have criticism faced criticism or even opposition, we pray. And why do we pray? Because there's no greater place to go with our concerns. It's to God, who is, no one is greater, no one is higher, no one is stronger. And then we obey, we do the right thing. Why? Because we believe that God will do something about it. And so as we sing this closing song this morning, make this a song of belief, that we believe that God can and will do something about our concerns, our criticisms, anything that might be on our hearts. So let's all stand and sing the song.
Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you.
Into the darkness,
into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you.
Our God is greater,
our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Sing it, our God.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
And if our God,
and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Then what can stand against? God is greater, our God is stronger, God is higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God.